It's time for the show that brings the magic right to your speakers. Ears up!
What's up, everybody? Thanks for hanging out with us today on Ears Up Podcast. We have a good show for you, as usual. We are going to be going through D23. All the fun stuff that's going to be happening on D23 this weekend. Starts tomorrow. That means I have to edit this tonight for it to be relevant.
Hello.
Yeah. But you know what? I feel like we need to do it. I'm excited for D23. Honestly, I think it'll be really cool. You know, as much as I give Bob Iger a lot of flack for just buying, you know, Marvel and just buying cool stories, I'm okay with it when it comes time for, like, knowing what's happening soon. You know, and the more the Marvel Cinematic Universe sort of drags on, you know, we're going to be ending phase 4 and getting into 5 and 6 soon. And it's like,
I don't even know what any of that means.
Yeah. I was like, we'll talk a little bit about it. But it's like, good Lord, why we have so much stuff. But now it's like, okay, fine. If I stick with something long enough, I'll get into it and I'll want to learn about it. And so that's where we are. We're sort of in like the weeds with some of these MCU characters. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'm kind of on board now.
Well, I think they're taking some of these, like, these characters that, I mean, okay, let's be honest. I don't know any of the characters. Superman, I suppose. Wait, that's the wrong thing.
You're kidding, right?
No, I actually wasn't. I meant Spider-Man, though.
My favorite MCU character is Superman. Absolutely. But not the Joker.
No, but like how they're bringing in that show that we watched. I can't think of the name of it.
Moon Knight.
That one. But there's
that's
other one.
That's a good example. Yeah.
Loki.
No, that one's good, too. But
the Mandalorian.
No, the teenage girl.
Boba Fett.
The teenage girl with
Miss Marvel.
With the ice. Yeah, Miss Marvel. Yeah. I really liked that. And that's like a super, it seems like a very random Marvel character.
Yeah, I think they're just, you know, going down the list.
Yeah, I kind of like it.
You know,
but right. At least she's newer in the comics. Moon Knight is a total 90s guy.
Yeah.
Like, okay. That's a deep dive.
Oh, we're going to talk deeper dives than that, too.
Ooh.
Yeah, I was surprised because in doing research for what the panels are going to be about, we're going to be talking a little about what, you know, what they're about and then sort of what maybe things that we might expect from these panels.
OK,
some of them or most of them are just like standard convention stuff. Like literally, here's Cesar Millan. OK, we're not really going to get too much out of him, but there's a lot of, you know, what's coming up in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, maybe what's coming up for the parks, what's coming up for Star Wars. So we're talking about that and talking about what we can look forward to and then maybe what we would want to see at these.
Cool.
Because they don't really say specifically, hey, are you Bev?
Yeah. Except that I can't.
Just yawning in the mic.
Well, because I hurt my back yesterday throwing water balloons at you. Oh, okay.
Wow.
I can't actually breathe all the way in. So
well, that's what happens.
I can't fully yawn.
What have we really learned annoying. From this lesson?
Nothing.
What's the lesson we've learned today?
To get closer to you when I'm going to throw one at
you. Yeah, do that. Please do. Man, I'll tell you, if you guys are watching on YouTube, I want to apologize right now because I'm wearing a tank top and I don't want to intimidate anybody. But, you know, in case I, you know, inadvertently flex really hard when I reach for a knob or something like that, you know, give directions to the beat. No, it's
oh, man.
It's literally 85 in the studio. You have to turn all the fans off because for some reason I care more about audio quality than comfort. And it's brutal. Like I have arm sweat already. So this is going to be a good show.
But at least those guns are out and the sun is not.
This
so
is true.
That saying is wrong.
That saying is wrong. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, normally there's a city wide ordinance that when the sun's down, the guns have to go away. But, you know, not me.
That's California for you.
Not me, baby.
Yeah.
Like I said, we have a great show for you today, but before we get to it, of course, I want to thank our travel partner, ConciEars. You can go to ConciEars.com right now and plan your next vacation. You go to Disneyland, go to Disney World, maybe go on the cruises, whatever you want to do, ConciEars is going to be there for you, and they will help you from takeoff to landing. They'll plan everything. They'll book everything for you. When you get to the parks, they'll plan reservations for you. They'll book reservations for you. They'll teach you how to use Disney Plus. Disney Genie Plus. That's what it is. It might teach you how to use Disney Plus, too, because...
You could. Yeah. Why not?
You know, sometimes, man. We turned the TV on today for Alice after school, and we have the NVIDIA Shield, like a streaming, you know, thing. So instead of channels, it's apps, you know?
It's like a smart TV.
Yeah, but it's like an independent, you know, thing, right? And Taryn turns it on and, like, you know, all the apps are up there and she goes, Disney Plus, and, like, puts her arms in the air and, like, falls, like, rolls back on the couch and, like, kicks her legs up and goes, Disney Plus. Like, what are you, bro?
Well, and the weirdest part is she didn't want to watch anything on Disney Plus. So
yeah, no, we were watching getting Paramount Plus to watch Peppa Pig.
But I mean, that's brand loyalty. That's good. I like that. Yeah.
She's seen Peppa Pig.
Oh my
She's
God.
Probably run through all what, like 7 or 8 seasons at least 3 times.
It's obsessive.
And just really will not watch anything else. She just wants to watch Peppa Pig.
Don't let her know about the new Peppa Pig. Isn't there a new, it's Legoland Orlando where they have a Peppa Pig area.
Oh, really?
Oh, God.
And saying Peppa Pig a lot is, and that's good enunciation. I'm liking this.
Yeah, it's going to be great
I gotta
for
have a
audio.
Kid.
Yeah. you can find us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, not Pinterest. Let me delete that because Bev no longer does that. TikTok or something. I don't know. YouTube Shorts. We're places, man. We're doing some stuff. We're also over on Discord. And the link to the Discord channel is always going to be in the show notes on YouTube or, you know, in the post on our website. But I just started a new channel on Discord for the Ears Up Book Club.
Yeah.
Apparently there are readers in our midst.
Who knew?
Not me. Tell you that.
So we're starting a book club, and I don't actually know what that means, and I'm not promising I can actually commit to it, but it sounds fun.
Yeah, is it going to, because so far, right now, it's just like you guys, you sort of feeling each other out and seeing what kind of genres everyone's into it, but eventually, are you guys going to be reading the same books and
I think
discussing
so.
It, or like an actual book club, or it's just like where people hang out and brag about how many, you know,
I'd like to read the same book as somebody else. I think that's, it's fun when you finish a book and you can talk about it. So yeah.
You want me to stop writing books for you? That's I'd love to read a book that's actually published and not not fan fiction that you make me read, Jason. All the information Taryn actually knows just comes from me writing my writings, my vast writings.
So what? That's what you do with your time?
Yeah. And I'm like the Library of Alexandria, except it still exists.
Oh.
Well, one of the books that I'm reading is by a Greek guy, and like literally every page has the word Greek, talks about Greece, talks about myths, like everything is Greece. And I'm like, God, did Jason write this thing? Yeah. Like, it's so annoying.
Yeah.
But it's a really good book.
It's called Olive Oil. The best stuff comes from Greece. That's going to be my memoirs. My memoir title will be Olive Oil.
You've never even been to Greece.
Hey, man, you know what? When you're Greek, you're family or something like that.
Yeah, okay.
You can support that somewhere, yeah.
Yeah, right. You can support the show. Go to Etsy.com/shop/Coveyers. Buy some shirts and, you know, whatever we got for sale over on the old Coveyers shop. Did I put it up? I think I put it up. I put up we have a Churro Pirate shirt with like a skull of with skull ears, right? And like churro cross churros underneath. I made a flag of that.
Nice.
And put it on the Etsy store. So if you want to fly the churro freak flag, you can do that.
Oh, you know what we should support have done? The show. Remember what? That bloody castle logo we did for the Halloween episode that time?
Yeah.
We should have that on a shirt.
People keep asking for those, and I forget.
Man.
Forget. You know, we could do that. If you give me a high-res enough image, I could do it tomorrow and post it.
Yeah, the problem is, like, literally, it's not a high-res thing. Like, it's
right.
So bad.
But maybe that'll be the charm of it. Yeah, maybe it'll be the charm.
I don't know. We'll see. I'll see what I can dig up.
Yeah. And, of course, as always, you can go to patreon.com/earsup and support us. Sub for as little as $5 a month, and you get the secret show and a bunch of other shows. And, you know, you get Etsy discounts, depending on your level. So we're trying to give back a little bit for you helping keeping us on the air. Bev is not here tonight. Bev is camping, I think, or something. She's doing something. Actually, she might even be in Disneyland. I can't really remember. But she's not here. So it's going to be a good show.
Oh, rude.
Whoa.
No, I'm just kidding. She will be missed, of course. And I think she's even going to miss the next show. Bev is basically gone this whole month. Yeah.
Jeez.
I know she's camping next, like in 2 weeks.
But we do have our Halloween episode coming up. And
Yeah,
I'm very excited about it.
I should probably start on it. I think the first episode in October is going to be the original design for the Haunted Mansion.
Oh, yeah, I think so.
The idea for the Haunted Mansion on storyboard and whatever, because it's very, very different from what it is now.
Yeah.
So I think that'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And then we'll do spooky stories. We're trying to get Terrence still for it.
Yep.
Do you think it's going to happen?
He told me that he booked it. It's on his calendar. I moved the date for him to be here.
So it's like the last 7 years of our history.
I know. Yeah. I know. So I'm not holding my breath on it, but no, I'm hoping that he's going to be here. It'd be fun to have a full house, and it's my favorite episode we ever do. So
yeah, I like it too, man. The flag is not up. RGH is telling me the flag is not up. I repeat.
Oh boy,
the flag is not up. All right. Well, I'll look at that at the break or something like that because I do want to put it up. I think it's funny. I not do it.
You should put your shirt that you're wearing now. That would be a cool flag too.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I'm wearing the Pirates and Mansion tank top, so you too can look this good. I'm saying about get cat stop. Come here.
Cat just fell between the wall and the table.
Bro.
Oh, these things happen.
Yep.
And now we can watch the rescue effort.
Mm-hmm.
It's like baby Jessica from the well.
Oh my god. That still haunts my nightmares. That was like
it's a very specific generational thing.
It is. And yeah. I remember it so vividly that I am terrified of ground grates.
I'm terrified of wells.
Wells. Like, yeah. I guess it was a well, but I always imagined it as a grate.
Because
there was a grate at the park that's great. I went to.
Oh, sure. That's great.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, let's jump into it, everybody. This is all we're really going to talk about. It's going to be a short show because, again, it's just hot. It's just hot and that's it. But the most important news coming out right now is about D23. So we are going to be talking about D23. We're going to mention all of the panels that are going to be happening this weekend and then call out the ones that will be streaming.
Okay.
So if you can't go to D23, you can watch the stream on the D23 YouTube page or at their website. And you can also get updates from their Facebook and Twitter accounts, which is nice, too. So if you can't maybe get to a TV or a computer or whatever, your smartphone or any sort of like now, it's just impossible to avoid streaming anything. But if you can't.
True.
The D23 Twitter account, I guess, will post live updates and stuff like that.
Do you have to be a D23 member or a paid member to see these things?
Probably not a paid member. I don't know if you need to be like a free member. I don't know that.
Hmm. Okay.
I don't know. I guess we'll find out tomorrow.
Yeah.
We're about to get a lot of new free member people signing up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Something like that. Okay, let's run down. We never really talked, Eric, about how we want to like work this. I guess I'm just going to read. I'm just going to read down the list, and we'll just talk about them. I guess.
Let's do that, and then I've got a list of my own personal predictions for the parks panel based on hour of scouring message boards looking for crazy rumors.
I love it. Nice. I love it. Okay, so the very first. Panel or whatever is going to be Friday in Hall D23. Now there's five stages at this thing, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Wow.
There's a lot. It's a big thing. There's a lot going on. This one will be live streamed. It starts at 10:30 in the morning. It's the Disney Legends Award ceremony. And we talked, I think on the news a couple shows ago or whatever about the people who are going to be, granted access Legends. to being the legend.
Quote,
here's the description from D23. It says the ultimate Disney fan event presented by Visa will kick off Friday with a fantastic spectacle that includes the Disney Legends Award ceremony. Disney CEO Bob Chapek will give fans an early look at Disney 100 Years of Wonder, an extraordinary celebration 100 years in the making. During the incredible opening event, which will also feature musical performances, special guests, and surprises for the audience, including a special performance by cast members from Disney on Broadway's production of Aladdin and the Lion King and the North American tour of Frozen. The Disney Legends Award is given to an individual who has made an extraordinary contribution to the Disney legacy. And this year's honorees include Anthony Anderson, Kristen Bell, Chadwick Boseman, Robert Coltrane, Patrick Dempsey, Robert Price, Jonathan Groff, Don Hahn, Josh Gad, Doris Hardoon, Adele Dazeem. I think my superpower is reading Idina Menzel and instantly saying Adele Dazeem without really. Yeah, anyway.
It's pretty good.
So that sounds cool, I guess. I mean, I don't know. I mean,
I would watch that.
A lot going on. I just there's only like four of those people that really deserve this. I don't really think that voicing a character. I've always said that. So I guess I don't really care anymore. Still on the same hall, so I think that's how I organized it, and hopefully it doesn't throw anybody. So this is still Friday, Hall D23. From 3:30 to 5:30 is Studio Showcase Day 1. Celebrate the magic of Disney and Pixar. They say, join Disney Studios for an all-star look at what's coming up in theaters and on Disney Plus from Disney's iconic Walt Disney Animation Studios and Pixar Animation Studios, as well as its namesake motion picture group behind such recent hits as Cruella, Jungle Cruise, and Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers. That is not being live streamed.
Have you seen the Chip and Dale movie yet?
No, I didn't even really know it was out.
I've heard it's really good. I have a few friends who said, I mean, it's a clever concept. They work in a lot of weird references. It's the sort of humor that works today, where everything's self-referential and they recognize that they were cartoon characters in the 90s and that sort of thing.
Okay.
Cool.
Well, that's interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
I could get behind that. I don't really know what that Studio Day One is going to be. I guess, I mean, it's just a reflection on the things that have happened already.
Well, a lot of these panels are just like to explain what's going on in the company, right? So I guess Studio Day One is just things that are happening at the studio.
But see, it also sort of echoes a lot of the other panels, which is sort of why I'm confused. Mm-hmm. What do you think, Eric?
That's kind of the conference or convention. Not conference. This isn't a business. This is a convention. We have fun here.
That's right. How dare you?
Yeah. I mean, they're saying it's the motion picture group behind these hits. And you're like, oh, I liked Cruella and Jungle Cruise. I'd like to see what else is coming.
Right.
I don't know that they're going to announce a whole lot right now at that one.
I don't think so either.
Magic.
Right. That's what
I'm just going to talk about stuff.
Yeah, I think so, too. And I have no idea what they're going to talk about. But it'll be fun, I guess, if we were there. But that's not going to be streamed either. On the premiere stage at 10:45 in the morning to 11:45, The Simpsons. Join us for a fun chat with the cast and creatives of this iconic show. That's just a one sentence, you know, little thing. They don't care about Simpsons.
No.
No one cares.
Well, they must care enough to give them a spot, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I guess they sort of have to.
It's
the longest running. It's like the longest running animated, you know, show in TV history or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
We can see Tess McNeil and Dan Castellaneta from very far away. I mean, that's fun, right?
I've never done one of those panels before. I've never been to a convention like this, where it's a room full of, well, I guess that's not entirely true, but sitting on a panel like that, I've never done it, but I would do I would go to a Simpsons one. That sounds pretty fun. Yeah. And I wish they were live streaming the whole thing. I would pay for the whole thing, you know, because it's free or whatever, you know, to see the ones that are, they pick and choose which ones are going to be live streamed, but I would watch a Simpsons panel.
Yeah.
That sounds like a ton of fun.
Why wouldn't they do that at some point? I mean, they're charging a lot for people to go there. Why wouldn't they charge like $10? They could get away with $10 less and you could just watch it from home.
They could get away with $20 more and the people would buy it. Oh, for sure. Well, I mean, because think about it. All these tickets are sold out already.
Yeah.
So if you're just either hearing the show or you can't make it or, you know, you don't want to make it. You know what I mean? Like me, you could just live stream. You're paying a little extra. Why not? I don't care. I would do it.
I think that this is going to be a new trend, but I hope that it is, where we can pay to watch things that you otherwise would see live, like concerts and things like that. Like
I agree.
Not that I don't want to go to concerts. I do, but maybe I want to see a concert that's on the East Coast and I can't get there and I'm not going to go to the East Coast just for a concert. So
yeah,
I'd love to watch it on TV if I could.
Yeah, I think that would rule. Also on the premiere stage, this one will be live streaming. And I think this is the first one that we can really dive into here. The Disney and Marvel Games Showcase from 1 to 2:30. I'm interested in this. Gamers unite. It says, tune in to the Disney and Marvel Games Showcase for announcements, trailers, and reveals for new and upcoming games from Disney, Pixar, Marvel, Lucasfilm, and 20th Century Studios. So I was trying to figure out maybe what games are sort of in the pipeline for these companies, the Disney umbrella, right?
Yeah.
Spider-Man 2, I know, is coming. They're working on that. And insiders online are saying gameplay will be announced, quote, soon. But I think that D23 being this weekend is a good indicator that close could possibly be this weekend. I would love to see gameplay from Spider-Man 2. I didn't play Spider-Man 1 or any of the Spider-Man games, but you know, the more I see content from it, the more kind of like, well, yeah, that looks kind of fun. I don't know. Like I said, I think I'm sort of getting more into like the superhero, you know, movie thing or whatever, because they are, you know, done pretty well.
You look upset with yourself.
I'm conflicted. I'm confused. I don't know where to go.
It's okay to just like things.
Is it? I don't know.
Yeah, it is.
I don't know.
I've heard it's good. I don't have a PlayStation, so I don't know.
You should get one. Get one. You can write it off as long as you talk about it on the show.
Oh, there we go.
The only thing we know right now about Spider-Man 2 is that Kraven and Venom are the villains of the game. Graphics on this are supposed to be amazing. No pun intended, guys. And the gameplay looks more like cutscenes than traditional gameplay. Now, those are kind of comments that are taken from people who are working on the game, and they're blown away by how great the graphics look on this. So it should be really great. I know that all the Spider-Man games have been pretty good the last few years, so I'm pretty excited about it. That's what I think we're going to be seeing. I think we're going to be seeing some Spider-Man 2 gameplay. That will be awesome.
Yeah.
There's another game coming out called Marvel's Midnight Suns. And this game has much more info on it. It even has like a website already.
Oh, wow.
But it would be cool to see some gameplay from it. There's really no gameplay in it. Marvel's Midnight Suns is an upcoming tactical role-playing game developed by Firaxis Games in collaboration with Marvel Games. It will feature comic book characters from multiple Marvel Comics properties, such as Midnight Suns, Avengers, X-Men, and Runaways. Players will be able to create their own superhero named The Hunter, with choice of over 40 different powers. That's pretty deep. That's a pretty robust character build right there.
Yeah,
that's a lot.
That's yeah. Too much for me personally. But
did you ever play City of Heroes, the MMO?
Uh-uh.
It was a generic build your superhero MMO. And there were certain power sets, but it was basically like build a Wolverine type character, build a character that can fly, build a large Hulk like tank sort of character.
Yeah.
It didn't have that many things, but it was cool to do. There were a lot of visual things you could do, making your character look like somebody cool. And it was more fun to create a character and go through the opening missions than it was to actually play the game, where it was a lot of running around and trying to climb buildings and like punch guys off of roofs.
That's awesome.
But yeah, they had significantly fewer than 40 powers. It was very basic character archetypes.
That sounds cool, man. The playable roster of superheroes includes Iron Man, Captain America, Wolverine, Spider-Man, Scarlet Witch, Doctor Strange, Captain Marvel, Blade, which I often forget Blade is a Marvel guy.
Yeah.
Blade?
Yeah, like, you know, the Wesley Snipes he's a vampire hunter.
Yeah.
And he's actually he's actually showing up in a couple things now. That's what I mean. That's how deep.
He's coming back.
He's coming back, man. Ghost Rider, which I didn't see the movie because I'm not really a Nicolas Cage fan, but whatever. Someone called Magic, and then someone called Nico Minoru.
Oh, from Runaways. Okay.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess there is gameplay from it, but I was on the Midnight Suns website. I didn't see any gameplay. So, you know, I don't know. I think RGH is in the chat trying to troll me. Marvel's Wolverine. They're doing a standalone Wolverine video game. So not only is Wolverine going to be in Midnight Suns, but he's going to get his own video game. But that release date is yet to be determined. And we might see that being announced here at D23 as well. I love a Wolverine story. He's next to the Punisher. He's like my favorite, you know, Marvel character. Always love Wolverine. I think he's rad. I'm very excited about this game. There's no gameplay on it at all that I could see. Maybe, maybe there is. I missed it. A few months ago, Marvel released a teaser trailer. It's like a 30-second teaser. It's a cutscene, you know, graphics quality. And it's just like this empty, it's a bar. And it's been just thoroughly trashed. There was clearly a fight, and it's like a slow push in, and then, you know, there's like, you know, bodies laying everywhere, and it cuts, and there's someone who you clearly is Logan sitting at the bar. He's a cowboy hat on, his, you know, hands are all bloody, and someone gets up from the floor, pulls out a knife, and then you cut back to Logan. His hands are at the bar, and then there's a drink in his hands, and his little knives come out of his fist, and that's it. Like, that's the only aspect we've seen, but there's a lot going on in there. So maybe we'll see a release date for there. Apparently, Marvel's focus has been more on Spider-Man 2 rather than Wolverine. So they want to finish Spider-Man 2, get that out, because Spider-Man is sort of like the hot ticket now. You know, he's had more movies recently than a Wolverine has. So
yeah,
we might not actually see Wolverine, I'm guessing, until like 2024.
Hmm.
But hopefully they'll announce all of this Friday, I think is what this is.
Okay.
All right.
Cool.
The Indiana Jones game. That
sounds great.
I think it sounds great, too. I have no idea what it's going to be, modeled after, if it's going to be more like of an Uncharted sort of, you know, aspect or what. Again, there's not much really known about it. Bethesda Studios, who are making this game, they did release a 30-second teaser trailer back in January that revealed not really a whole lot, actually. It's basically like a slow pan over what we presume is Dr. Jones's desk. There's like books and a map and a typewriter and, you know, his hat and whatever. So there's lots of stuff there we'd expect to see. There's a passport. is his hat, and he pulls up his hat and the whip is underneath it. But a lot more intriguing than that are what appears to be a plane ticket to Rome and the date 1937. So that date places the game's timeline between the events of Raiders of the Lost Ark and The Last Crusade. So it's in the first trilogy somewhere in there. From the date and location, we can expect Italian fascist leader Benito Mussolini to merit at least a mention in the game, because I think around that time was when Mussolini came back from Germany, like solidifying his partnership with the Germans, with the Nazis. So that might happen. And we all know that Indiana Jones loves to punch Nazis. And the notes on the desk also hint at links to the Vatican and the U.S. government. The books on the books on show are Ancient Circles, Myths That Made, and Forbidden Stones. Rome isn't exactly short on ruins or history of myths and legends for the game to pull from, but the links to the Vatican suggest Indy could once again be on the trail of a holy relic.
Those stories work out well. I mean,
yeah, they kind of do.
Yeah. And Indiana Jones games, I only remember playing, I'm sure there were more, but I only remember playing two, and I loved them. One was a point and click. What was it? Something About Atlantis. That was a more adventure game that was amazing. And that was back in the early 90s. Mm-hmm. And then there was a later one that was more of an adventure game that does kind of channel that, pre-channeled the Uncharted vibe.
Oh, okay.
That ended up, I can't remember the name of that game either, but you ended up essentially kicking off. It was inadvertently, well, I guess it was very advertent that that's the way they designed it, but you didn't realize it going in. It led directly into the opening scenes of Temple of Doom, where he's in that Chinese nightclub, the club Obi-Wan.
Oh, wow.
Like the last scenes of the game are him getting into the club, and he's got that diamond. You realize as you're going, you're like, oh, wait, this is the diamond from that movie.
That's cool.
And it was super fun. They're very Uncharted, and I could see them doing even better. I love those Uncharted games. They're mm-hmm. they're not difficult, and they're so well done.
Yeah, they really are. I saw the movie. Did you see the Uncharted movie?
Yes.
With Tom Holland.
Mm-hmm.
Did you like it before I open my kimono?
I did fall asleep during a portion of it.
It was terrible. Awful.
It had some of the cool elements, like that time where he's in the plane and all the crates are out there and they're attached on a cord.
Yeah.
That amazing sequence. That was fun to see. But yeah, it didn't really grab me.
It was very bad. Tom Holland was fine, but it was sort of just like watching Spider-Man, is because he was doing like the same sort of, you know, parkour, whatever. God, I can't even remember the guy who was his like friend, Sully, who played Sully.
Mark Wahlberg.
Oh.
With a mustache.
Awful.
The mustache did a lot of heavy lifting on that movie.
That's about all that did heavy lifting. It was terrible. Mark Wahlberg was more boring than usual. It was just, anyway, a terrible movie. Fantastic game. Uncharted 4, one of the better games I've ever played. Where are you going, Taryn? Oh, okay. Hey, where
did you get it? She's upset. She really loved that movie. She's out.
Our friends at the 21st Amendment Brewery welcomed the warmer weather with the release of their brand new hoppy pilsner, Coaster Pils. With a label that depicts a magical portal into an amusement park of flavors, Coaster Pils has a good time around every turn. Coaster Pils is wonderfully clear and bright with a beautiful straw color and tight white bubbles. It has a snappy flavor with crisp lines and wonderful citrus, tropical, hoppy flavors and aromas. Plus, at 5.4% ABV, it'll help you coast right through your day like only the 21st Amendment can. Coaster Pils, as well as our summertime favorite Hell or High Watermelon Wheat, are available wherever you find great craft beer. Yeah. I don't know, man. I like that they're doing video games of Indiana Jones. Thinking about that more during the commercial there for a second. I like it.
It's a great property. Why not expand the universe a little bit more?
Yeah.
We've got books and comic books of Star Wars and all that other stuff, and then plenty of video games. We don't have enough about Indiana Jones other than the Young Indiana Jones Chronicles, which was one of my favorite shows for a while.
I never saw any of it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It was great. It's every episode started out, this kid is talking to an old man at the mall who turns out to be this very ancient Indiana Jones who's got an eye patch and he's in a wheelchair.
Great.
It's fantastic. And then they've got a young kid who's going around doing like basic 80s sitcom-y, you know, adventure stuff. But I love that they're talking to somebody in the present day and they're like, no, this guy in the 80s or 90s or whenever it was, he would be super old. And yeah, I always loved watching that show. Did it come out on Sundays, or might have been one of those Sunday blocks.
I wish I could help you on that.
Yeah, well, obviously you can't, because you don't remember.
No, yeah, I have no idea.
But yeah, the conceit that the entire show was being told by an elderly Indiana Jones who's just telling his stories over and over.
That's cool.
I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really hope for the game that they don't, you know, sort of make it a run and gun kind of a thing, because that's not really indie style. I feel like if you're going to make an indie game, it's more about, you know, him having dumb luck, but also, you know, I don't know, just using his wits to get out of certain situations. So maybe like a lot of puzzles, or like timing and jumps, or like something like that, like jump puzzles, yeah, maybe, or something.
Some whip jump puzzles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll be cool. Anyway, we're still on Friday, everybody. What do you think of that? The next thing to be live streamed is the D23 Expo Mousecarade 2022 from 6 p.m. to 7:30. And the description is as follows. The ultimate Disney costume contest returns to D23 Expo. Join host Nina West and guest judges Yvette Nicole Brown, Ashley Eckstein, and Ali Mackey as we showcase the most magical makes and quintessential creations of the Disney cosplay fan universe. Okay, that's cool. Yeah. I mean, you know,
it's a cosplay thing, right?
Yeah, it's cosplay. Yeah. I'm glad that the cosplayers are going to get live streamed. I think that's good for the cosplay.
Yeah, I want to watch that.
Well, yeah, I think it could be fun.
When is that?
Friday, 6 p.m.
Oh.
Did you see at the last D20, I think it was the last D23, one of the costumes that completely blew me away was this person who was in a Te'ka costume and then rapidly changed into Te'Fiti from Moana.
Oh, like, cool.
No, I didn't.
Changed from the lava monster into Te'Fiti.
Wow.
Absolutely stunning.
That's cool. It's a good
idea.
And
this is what cosplayers are. This is why it can't be that level of cosplayer.
Yeah.
Jason was floored by that.
Yeah. No.
Just not going to think. Yeah, it'd be fun to get my nephew Anthony on to talk about or to watch the cosplay. He's that kind of guy. He's been working for like a year on this big design. I forget what it even is, but it's like big wings.
Hmm.
And it has its own like kickstand, so you can like put them on and take them off. And it's like a 20-foot wingspan. And he's building them. He goes, I don't actually really know if I can like carry it. Like, I need to have spotters with me.
Well, and it has whole like body armor, like chain body armor that he did all of the links to.
He's wild.
Like,
man.
He's crazy.
Cosplayers can be just insane.
But also, I get that. Like, he wants it to be exactly the way, I don't even know what it is, but exactly the way it looks in the thing.
He's told me like 12 times. I have no idea. okay, moving stages, the backlot stage. We're going to get an inside look at the Society of Explorers and Adventurers.
Ah, the sea, right?
Yeah, that's right. Taryn, good job. 10:30 a.m. That's what's happening. An inside look at the continuing development of the Society of Explorers and Adventures, what it means at Disney parks, and how these stories continue to grow. While Disney Imagineers are joined by author Julie Kagawa to talk about her to talk about her first two books in a series of novels that tie into the lore of Sea. Now, is that from Tokyo Disney Sea, Eric? Where is the Society of Explorers? Or is it a Disney World thing?
It's that concept that is kind of attributed to Joe Rohde that ties together the parks around the world. There's more of a presence in Tokyo than anywhere else, but it ties back to the Adventurers Club, which I talked about many, many moons ago on this show.
Yeah.
And it's something that it kind of goes on and off, where they try to bring in like, hey, Barnabas T. Bullion is the guy who owns the mining company that delved too deep. And that's why we have these haunted trains at.
It happens, man.
Yeah. You know, they've just got stuff all over the place. It's even at the cruise line. Mary Oceaneer is named after the kids club there, or the kids club is named after her.
Have you read any of the books?
I have not. I don't know.
Neither have I.
Yeah, I have not gone into that at all. But,
I mean, it seems kind of cool. I imagine they're going to give a little history of the Society of Explorers and Adventurers. And, you know, that's good Disney history for people. And I feel like that's a good thing to sort of focus on moving forward. You know, Disney parks do have this cool lore. You don't really hear too much about it.
Mm-hmm.
So I do like that they're sort of, you know, taking the existing things that they have and expanding it a little bit.
Yeah, and I wonder if they're going to talk about the show that's supposed to be happening on Disney Plus. Haven't heard anything about that in a while. Oh. They're going to do an SEA thing.
That would be cool.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a big deal. And is it from Ronald Moore?
Roger Moore.
Oh, yes. Roger Moore. Yes.
Yeah, they're going to dig him up.
Yeah. famously. Yeah. Oh, well.
Yeah. Okay. Moving on. ABC's Home Economics. Now, just based off of that, do you know what that is?
No.
Home Economics.
Is it the spinoff of ABC's hit Abbott Elementary? I don't know.
I don't know
this show.
The stars of ABC's Home Economics discuss the making of the family comedy and share an exclusive look at the upcoming season premiere filmed at Disneyland. It's kind of neat, I guess, filmed at Disneyland. Not many shows do that. But I've never heard of this show, so I had to look it up. And this is what I found. Home Economics is an American sitcom television series created by Michael Colton and John Aboud that premiered on ABC on April 7th, 2021. As a mid-season entry in the 2020-2021 television season. In May 2021, the series was renewed for a second season. In May 2022, the series was renewed for a third season. So this show has been on for 3 years. It's gotten 3 seasons. We've never heard of it. Hence the panel at D23, I guess.
Yeah.
But they've got a Disneyland episode. And you're right. Normally you have the Disney World episode, like right. Full yeah. House and everybody else goes to Disney World. Yeah, why not?
Right. Yeah. I mean, you know, whatever, dude. Who cares, right? This next one will be live streamed. This again is on, are we still on Friday? We still are on Friday. This one is called Disney for Scores Podcast Live Celebrates Marvel Music. Let me try reading that like a human being. Disney for Scores Podcast Live Celebrates Marvel Music. Again, this will be live streamed at 2:30, from 2:30 to 3:30. It says, celebrate the powerful music of Marvel storytelling when Variety's John Burlingame hosts Disney for Scores Podcast Live.
Yeah, it's not you. It's the name of that podcast.
Disney for Scores Podcast Live.
That's a stupid name. I mean, Ears Up isn't great, but that is bad.
Disney for Score. Yeah, Disney for Scores Podcast.
It doesn't flow.
Scores for Disney? That would be better. I don't know. Who am I? I'm not John Burlingame. What do I don't work for Variety. So, like, you know, what do I know?
Yeah.
John will bring the format of the popular Disney for Scores podcast to life as he interviews composers of some of your favorite Marvel series and films. Listen in as they fill us in on the secrets of creating the amazing music that helps build the Marvel universe. That could be cool for like music nerds and stuff. I always have a hard time when we talk to music people, like when we talk to Don Dorsey and then when we talk to Tom Amin especially Josh Fries, but I was more starstruck then, I guess. you know, if you're not a musical guy, I think it's hard to bring music to a mainstream audience. The subtleties of making music and pulling emotion with music and, you know, matching the emotion to the screen. Definitely. Either you can get really boring going off into the weeds, or you're not covering enough and you're just like talking to the person about music. Like, oh, that was a fun time. All right, our next guest had fun doing this.
It looks interesting. I'm looking up the podcast right now because I've never heard of it, but they've got 60 episodes out. They're on season 3.
Oh, wow.
Season 2, episode 6, John Debney is on the show. So they scored John Debney.
They did.
Wow. Disney for Scores podcast scored.
Yeah. Episode 7, Randy Newman, your old pal. But yeah, I mean, each episode has one composer, and it looks like each one is about 30 minutes long.
Sounds cool.
I don't know. Could be interesting. Yeah.
Could be.
All right. Turn off this podcast and listen to that one.
Shut up. I'm going to edit that out. Do not listen to this man. 4:30 p.m. This will not be live streamed. So if you're there, you definitely got to check this panel out. This is called The Cast and Creative Team of Disney Channel's Hamster and Gretel. Speaking of shows I've never heard of.
Right. What?
Sure.
Join the team behind Disney Channel's Hamster and Gretel as they share insights into making the animated series. Moderated by Brock Powell, the panelists include Dan Povenmier, Joanna Hausman, Michael people's names.
This description has about 150 words, and the Simpsons panel had a sentence.
Right. That's what I mean. I don't think they really like the Simpsons because they're Fox. They're not really Disney, you know what I mean? As far as like content of the show, I feel like they did that on purpose. I don't know what gives me that vibe, but they're like, oh, join the cast. It'll be cool, dude. hey, over here, ABC's Home Economics. Everybody come over. Here's the plot of Hamster and Gretel. Disney Channel's animated superhero comedy Hamster and Gretel follows the adventures of siblings Kevin and Gretel. Their lives are forever changed when space aliens suddenly show up and announce they're bestowing special abilities on two beings below. Gretel gains super strength and the ability to fly, but not Kevin, because as it turns out, Gretel's hamster, named Hamster, is the other new superhero. Hamster and Gretel hails from Dan Povenmire, who co-created the series Phineas and Ferb. As he was writing Phineas and Ferb, the movie, Candace Against the Universe, that was back in 2020, for Disney Plus, he found himself sketching the character later known as Hamster. He says, quote, "I always doodle when we're in the brainstorming process, but I don't always know what I'm drawing until I'm done," he says. "One day I drew a superhero hamster, and I kept that little 3x5 card. I took a picture of it, and as I was tucking my daughter into bed that night, I showed her this picture. I started pitching her ideas for what that show could be, sort of as a joke, and she laughed at everything. The show basically wrote itself. There's a lot of fun you can have with a superhero hamster, so it grew from that." I'm a little annoyed because my kid will laugh at anything. You know, I say pee pee poo poo. "Oh, don't forget to eat your diarrhea, Alice." You're just joking. Yeah, I'm not going to go pitch that to Disney. Here, Disney's a plate of diarrhea.
Maybe you should.
Maybe I should. But anyway, if you like Phineas and Ferb, maybe it might have the same vibe by the same creator. Yeah. Superhero hamster? I don't know. It could be funny and quirky, man. What are you going to do?
Yeah, take that, Kevin.
Yeah, Kevin.
No powers.
Yeah.
Poor Kevin.
What is this, Encanto all over again?
Yeah.
Someone in Discord, it wasn't Eric. It was Brian. No, it was Jason. Anyway, someone was like, is Bruno the villain of Encanto?
No.
Taryn, what do you think?
Of course not.
Eric, what do you think?
Absolutely not.
He's a victim.
I don't think so either.
Victim.
Right. Who's the villain of Encanto? Taryn, go quick.
The grandma.
Grandma.
Yeah, me too. I thought I had the most original take when I thought of that. Yeah, I was like, yeah, it's definitely the grandma. She caused the whole thing.
Yeah.
She was selfish. She doesn't deserve any power. Well, and then they were like, well, then why is Bruno included in Oogie Boogie's bash as one of the villains?
I mean, he is portrayed as a villain until he's not.
From who sings the song about who's the Bruno song singer?
All of them.
Everybody. Okay.
Yeah, see, the whole family doesn't like him.
You don't even know the movie.
But you knew what I was talking about.
Well, yeah.
The Bruno song singer.
Does he have a 7-foot frame with rats along his back?
I mean, yes. I mean, maybe.
I don't know.
They all saw him as the villain. So I guess I can see why he's at.
But I think he's just in the bash for that one song
that
portrays him really spooky.
Well,
it's kind of weird.
His bedroom is kind of gross and like spooky.
Yeah,
also.
But he's in hiding.
And he's scarier than a grandmother who's nice.
Yeah. Yeah, you want her at Oogie Boogie?
Yeah, she's nice if you do exactly what she wants.
Yeah, but it's different than having like Mother Gothel from Rapunzel, where it's like, oh, well, she's she's manipulative and you can tell she's evil from the start, even though like Rapunzel clearly doesn't get it.
Yeah.
You think Abuela is like, oh, well, she's the grandmother. Of course, she has the magic. She did the thing.
She's goaded with the sauce.
Right. I mean, Bruno's the one with the glowing green eyes sometimes. So I don't know. But that's a good point. That's weird. They're just trying to shovel.
They got everything. Yeah, absolutely. And then Friday at 6:30 is here for the laughs.
God, there's a lot on Friday. We're only still on Friday.
Stars of your favorite TV and streaming series come together to discuss their careers and what it takes to make a comedy hit.
Okay.
So Abbott Elementary.
I feel like they don't know the answers to that.
Apparently not. Over on the Walt Disney Archives stage at 11 in the morning, Sounds Delightful, an illustrated audio adventure. Join Disney artist and historian Stacia Martin for an all-new edition of Sounds Delightful, an illustrated audio adventure across decades of vintage vinyl recordings from yesterday's turntables, including rare promotional and production tracks. I tried to find out Sounds Delightful because it sounds like it's a thing that's happened before. I think it was at the D23 panel, like 2012. I found literally a bootleg copy that you could barely hear. It's like this person was way in the back, like the last row. So all you hear is just the reverb in the room. You can't even understand the words, but this person has it on their website for 57 minutes. Like, cool. But that sounds neat, man. You know, Disney really does need to go in the archives a little bit more and dig up some of this stuff. You know, not that this person is a Disney you know, well, I guess she's a Disney historian, but now that she works with the company, maybe, I don't know, as a historian, right? That's the kind of stuff I would really be into. I wish that was being live streamed.
I'd love to go to that.
Yeah, that would be cool. At 12 o'clock, who is honored with a window on Main Street, USA? Observers notice details throughout the Disney theme parks, such as names styled on building windows. Discover the people behind the names through a talk with the team that researched the upcoming Disney Editions book, People Behind the Disney Parks.
You've had that segment for years.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. We've never finished it. That's neat too. You know, I like mm-hmm. Disney not only giving nods to the past, but you know, literally saying we stand on the shoulders of giants, and this is how we honor them. And
I like
it's
that.
Neat. Yeah, for sure. 2 p.m. A very 90s afternoon special with the quote all new Mickey Mouse Club. We join the cast from the all new Mickey Mouse Club as they share favorite memories about the third incarnation of the series from 1989 to 1994. And discover how the Mickey Mouse Club pushed boundaries by highlighting topics that had rarely been covered on children's television. Okay, well, I bet, man.
What's going to be cool about that is they're going to talk about Britney Spears.
Yeah, I was going to say, is that
JT?
Is that JT and Britney Spears era and Christina Aguilera?
Yeah, they have to talk about them. That is totally.
I wonder if they're going to be there.
I don't think Britney is sound mind.
She is. She's living her life, Taryn. You leave the queen alone, please. Okay. We've already lost one queen today. Okay. We don't need to bury another one. All right.
I love Britney. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, I love her too.
But I don't think she could sit on a panel.
Oh, she would dance on a panel. All we need.
She'd get up and dance.
Hell yeah. And she'd post it on Instagram. I would love it. Yeah. Disney Legends in Conversation. This is from 4 to 5. Listen in as members of the newest class of Disney Legends partake in an enlightening conversation about their storied careers. Okay. But Disney Legends. Okay. So it's the newest cast of Disney Legends.
So Patrick Dempsey sitting on a stage talking
about him.
Josh Gad.
We did the show for 47 years.
Yeah. Josh Gad. I had to make this voice for 12 hours a day. Oh, yeah. Disney Legend. Woo.
Oh, man.
This next one is interesting. We've talked about it a number of times on the show over the years. Walt's plane taking flight through Disney history, presented by Amazon at 6 o'clock. As Walt Disney Company's plane makes its historic return at D23 Expo, join Disney archivist Ed Oval. Jeez, I'm stupid. As he shares the fascinating story of the Grumman Gulfstream 1 aircraft, fondly remembered as the Mouse. I remember my buddy who works at Disney World messaged me like years ago. He's like, you ever heard of Walt Disney's plane? Like, no. And I looked it up. I was like, oh, that's cool. No one really knows where it is. He goes, it's back here. And like sent this picture of it. And like you can see the chain link fence around. He goes, I found it. I'm like, break into it. He goes, no. I value my job too much. I'm like,
nice.
You're a coward. We argued.
It was just there at MGM Studios when it opened up. It was in the Boneyard.
Yeah.
Where they had stuff like the Flight of the Navigator ship.
And you can go in it. Like, it was open. People can go in it. But it's like, there's nothing in it that was cool or relevant or, like, left over from Walt. It was all, like, picked clean. It's just a junky-ass plane. Yeah. But they revamped it and refurbished it. And I don't know if people are going to be able to get to look inside it or maybe it's just the plane. But if there's nothing in... Maybe I'm weird, but if there's nothing in the plane that's related to Walt Disney other than he owned this hunk of junk, who cares?
To look at.
Yeah, who cares anymore? But maybe they, you know, retrofitted it. I don't know. Okay, we're still on Friday, folks. Hyperion Stage. This is my favorite. 10:15 in the morning. Caesar Milan. Uh-huh. Who knew that Caesar Milan was still, you know, yelling at humans and, you know, kissing dog? The panel is called Better Human, Better Dog. Pet owners across America need help, and Caesar Milan is ready to show them the way. Show the animal that you are dominant. His positivity in troubled times and his heartwarming transformations make us feel like we can overcome all obstacles, starting with our own four-legged pals. Keep in mind, the Simpsons panel got 8 words.
I didn't know who this was, so this is why these need more
Caesar
words.
Malone, the dog whisperer.
The dog whisperer,
he started
yeah.
the whole the blank whisperer-like thing. You know, the horse whisperer and the wife whisperer and the...
I see. Yeah, Google tells me he's a Mexican-American canine professional.
Canine professional. Yeah.
It sounds like you hire him.
It sounds like he's a professional. Puppy. Sounds like he's a professional dog. So, yeah, I mean, Caesar Milan panel. What are you going to, you know, it's, I don't know. It feels weird, but.
That's not very Disney.
What can we expect from Caesar Milan panel? Mm. A new brand of dog food, I guess. This next one's called, I feel like I missed one. I feel like I missed a letter, but it says Trace Back. I don't think that's what it is. Yeah, maybe it is. Celebrating the people of Walt Disney Animation Studios, 1145. The Walt Disney Animation Research Library presents Trace Back, a look at the lives and work, as well as the art, artistic and technical contributions of women and employees of color throughout the history of Walt Disney Animation Studios.
That's good.
That's cool. Be a little heartwarming panel for you guys. 145 National Geographic's Superhero Women of STEM. Meet three extraordinary women who are changing the face of exploration, education, and storytelling. Find out what it takes to study large bears up close. I mean, what do you mean take what it takes? What does it take to study bears? A degree and a gun. I don't know, man. Learn about the science of Avatar and get ready to win first place at the science fair, you guys. That's what it says. I don't know what that means. There's a lot of National Geographic panels, I mean, which makes sense, but it sort of feels like they push National Geographic a little bit in odd ways, like this, like STEM. What does National Geographic and STEM have anything to do with one another?
Well, National Geographic,
I guess, science. In STEM would be, otherwise it'd be TEM.
Yeah.
Okay. 345 behind the scenes, ABC's Beauty and the Beast, the 30th celebration. That's just a preview for the upcoming special. There you go. 545 National Geographic Special Screening, Epic Adventures with Birdie Gregory, the face of a new generation of aspirational adventurers and national history filmmakers. 29-year-old Birdie Gregory takes viewers on an epic and nail-biting journey that pushes into the most spectacular and secretive corners of our wild world.
Oh, boy.
I don't know. I don't care.
Sure.
Like, none of the National Geographic stuff appeals to me at all. Just could never. I don't care anymore. I don't know why. That's it for Friday. It's funny how much a lot of these like overlap. You know what I mean? If you want to listen to the Disney for Scores, well, you got to walk out of National Geographic's Superhero Women of STEM panel right in the middle.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That's a tough choice.
If you want to watch ABC's Home Economics panel, well, you better be prepared to miss the Who is Honored with a Window on Main Street USA. Like, if you could pick any one of these panels to go to, why would it be the Home Economics panel? You got the Disney and Marvel Games showcase during that time, the Main Street USA window thing at that time, and then the people of Walt Disney Animation Studios. You have three really cool panels, but you want to hear the cast of ABC's hit series Home Economics talk about recording season three.
I'm sure that's the small stage. You got to have the small stage.
I don't know, man. I guess if you want to watch Caesar Milan, you're going to miss The Simpsons. Weird
choices.
There's some choices there for sure. All right, Saturday, Hall D23. We got Studio Showcase Day 2, Marvel Studios, Lucasfilm, and 20th Century Studios. There is potentially a ton to talk about on this one, so we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back, and we're going to plow through all of the stuff that potentially could be at the D23 panel for Marvel and Lucasfilm, and stuff we want to see. Now, this is going to be, I think, second to the what's coming up at the parks. This is going to be the big chunk. So hang on, everybody. It's ears up. We'll be right back.
And now, back to the show that ignites your dream wish of imaginations and magical color wonderment of forever. Ears up.
Thanks for hanging on, everybody. We're just running through all the D23 panels. It seems like fun. Seems like a fun thing to do. We can't make it, so might as well dream wish imagination about it.
Yeah.
Okay, Studio Showcase Day 2, Marvel Studios, Lucasfilm, and 20th Century Studios. This will not be live streamed, but there's a lot of information that could potentially come out, and it all impacts the MCU. So the studio panel is probably going to be, it's definitely going to be winding up Phase 4 of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. We're going to have the new Black Panther probably be talking about, I would imagine. I'm hoping we get a new Black Panther Wakanda Forever trailer. Now, this freaked me out. This is the 30th movie in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Wow. I believe 30th.
It. Holy cow.
Yeah. And it marks the official end of Phase 4. The movie comes out November 11th and sees most of the original cast returning. Disney has stated that they will not recast the character of T'Challa, but it does remain to be seen who will be wearing the Black Panther suit in the film. However, according to fan site The Brick Fan, which you can probably guess is a Lego fan site, three new Lego sets will be released in October, and one of these shows Shuri, who is Black Panther's sister, right?
Mm-hmm.
Wearing what appears to be the Black Panther costume. along with the gold accents that we saw on the suit in the trailer. The set that sees Shuri in the suit is titled Shuri's Sunbird. So Lego is potentially spoiled who's going to be, and I guess now I did too, who's going to be wearing the suit. But I think that was sort of like a given. I mean,
yeah, kind
of. Yeah, once Chadwick Boseman passed and people were talking about, well, who's going to wear it? Of course it was going to be her. Everybody knows that. I'm not going to introduce a new character. You know what I mean? It's not going to be his mom.
I thought it went to the other guy, his friend.
No.
I guess I'm getting confused with something.
That's all right, man. It happens. Yeah,
I'm more curious to know how they're going to, because if you watch the teaser, I mean, you see him dead. So I'm wondering how they're going to play why he died.
I'm curious about that.
Are they going
to
have him die of cancer in the movie too, which would be kind of an incredible legacy? Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think they can because of like the way Wakanda is supposed to be, where it's so technologically and medically advanced. I don't think that they would. I don't know. I'm curious about it. We'll see. I mean, he probably died in battle is something that they'll say, but yeah, it'll be interesting. Mm. We don't really know a whole lot about Black Panther 2, even though it's coming out in like 2 months. We do know that the kingdom is in mourning over King T'Challa. There's also trouble brewing between Wakanda and the underwater kingdom of Talokan, which is rooted in the mythical. Hello, this is my mythical time. Rooted in the mythical Aztec paradise, and it's a word I can't pronounce, and changed from the comics Atlantis. So in the comics, they're at war with Atlantis, but in here it's Talokan.
It's not the fate of Atlantis, Indiana Jones's
correct.
Venture.
Yeah, okay. Right. Ruled by someone called Namor. Again, why that might be is a mystery, but it's possible that the armed militia we see in the trailer for Black Panther has something to do with it. Wakanda and Atlantis have come to blows in the comics before. So the film might take inspiration from those kind of storylines, but, you know, changing it from Atlantis to this, you know, other mythical Aztec paradise. That's Black Panther 2. Don't know a whole lot about it. Coming out soon. We probably should know more about it. I feel like they're really going to focus on that.
Okay.
Release dates and more information for Disney Plus show Werewolf by Night. And I was looking into this title. It seems very cool. This, again, is one of those deep dives that we were talking about in the beginning of the show. Mm-hmm. I would love to see more about it. Do you know anything about this, Eric?
The original Werewolf by Night was J. Jonah Jameson's son.
Really?
J. Jonah Jameson Jr. So
J. Jonah Jameson was the editor of the Daily Globe or whatever, who was like
Bugle,
who was trying to get pictures of Spider-Man.
Right. Okay. Yeah, exactly. But yeah, he went into space and he got hit with he was an astronaut. He went into space. He got irradiated with space rays and he became a werewolf.
I feel like you should have led with he was an astronaut.
Yeah.
I don't know. He went into space and worked at the bodega down the block. I don't know.
No, it's one of those like when did that start? Was that the 60s or the 70s? I don't know. You're right. It's a really deep dive. And I love that they're bringing it out because they keep doing this stuff like, oh, wait. Things people don't know about, we could just mine these old properties for content forever.
And that's what they're doing. And I was a little nervous about that, but then I started looking at stuff like this. So Werewolf by Night, which is coming out next month, the official synopsis is this. Jack Russell comes from a lineage cursed with lycanthropy. Still, he remains fully aware of most of his transformations and controls his power for a werewolf body to fight evildoers. That's it. That's the show synopsis.
Hmm.
Hey, good werewolf.
I don't know a whole lot about this character, but what little I could find on him sort of confused me. So here's the thing. I think it was like one of the Disney wiki pages or whatever. Quote, his origin, as well as when he joined S.H.I.E.L.D., is unknown. What we do know is he and Blade were team members in the Howling Commandos.
Mm.
However, an incident
in World War II.
However,
I don't remember that story.
An incident earlier than the team up with Spider... However, an incident earlier than the team up with Spider-Man caused a rift between him and Blade. He teamed up with Spider-Man and Blade and the Howling Commandos to fight Dracula and stop the living mummy from using the Unk.
This is as great as Quadruple J being the origin of the story.
It's like out of context, it just sounds like word salad. It just sounds like someone needs to be on a mixture of chemicals to correct a brain aneurysm that potentially might be forming. I have no idea what any of this means. And there's no explanation of what the Unk is or why Blade is fighting Dracula. It just seems so terrible. Whenever you bring Dracula into a story, you're like, all right, you've given up. You've given up. The Frankenstein's monster is coming next. I can feel it. It's going to fight all the classic Universal monsters. Yeah, so I was a little confused. Werewolf by Night has ties in the Marvel Comics to characters of Moon Knight, Blade, and Dracula. Since both Blade and Moon Knight are also confirmed for live-action MCU characters, the character will probably intersect with these characters at some point in the franchise. So, the Werewolf by Night show might see Moon Knight as a guest appearance. Hopefully, maybe. That would be cool, because I do like that character. Maybe Blade? Then are they going to recast Blade? Is Wesley Snipes going to come back as Blade?
No, it's, what's his name?
Did they recast him?
Ali. Oh, yeah, they totally recast him. He was in... His voice was in one of the end credits sequences of Eternals. He's the guy who played, who is in the first season of Luke Cage. Yeah, Mahershala Ali. I don't know if I'm like mangling his name.
Probably, but
cool guy. He's been confirmed. He will be playing Blade at a point in the future in a Blade series or appearance. I don't know.
And the Ankh, are you talking about the symbol?
Oh, that guy. Yeah, Marshall. I don't know, man. The UNK.
Oh.
The
Ankh. So not an Ankh, literally Ankh.
Yeah, huh. We don't want the mummy to use the Ankh, to use the uncle, the powerful uncle character.
Because the Ankh is an Egyptian, it's the symbol of life. It's like the... No, I can't turn it. But
no, I know what it is.
Moon Knight.
Yeah, it's the UNK, so I don't know.
Weird.
But that could be cool, man. Werewolf by Night, I don't know. And it's billed as their Halloween series. It'll be coming out like closer at the end of October, probably. Sounds
fun. What'll happen?
What?
People will complain for the first few episodes that they don't know what's going on. And then everyone in America and around the world will watch the last three episodes in a religious fervor.
Oh, for sure. I'll be one of those. Another thing that's going to be talked about potentially, hopefully, at least a thing that's coming up and nobody really knows too much about, the Guardians of the Galaxy Holiday Special.
Oh, it's going to be bad.
Probably.
Things don't all need a holiday special.
Sure they do.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, they do.
Everything does, man. No. Yeah. Chris Pratt, Zoe Saldana, Dave Bautista, Vin Diesel, Bradley Cooper, Karen Gillian, Palm Clementeef, and Sean Gunn will star, reprising their roles from the film series. Gunn had worked on the concept for the special for several years before it was announced in December 2020. So this dude was running with this in Guardians of the Galaxy 1, a holiday special, which is kind of
funny. That's awesome.
Yeah, it kind of is, man. I don't know if I could have that stick-to-it-ness to be like, no, this is this. No, we're not going to do that. Okay, well, let me rewrite it and we'll see. Oh, and how about now? No, we're not going to stop, James. Can't do it. Filming occurred from February to late April 2022 during the production of Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, which comes out next year. The main cast members of the Guardians films are featured, but the story is set between Thor, Love and Thunder, which I guess just hit Disney Plus today, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. Gunn noted there were parts of the special that would help set up material in Volume 3, so you watch that to maybe get a little head start on what's going to go on in the third movie. Okay. The special has been described by Gunn as an epilogue of Phase 4 of the MCU. So the end of Phase 4 is Wakanda Forever, and then I guess this sort of plays, this dovetails into the fourth, to the end of that.
Okay.
Which, you know, is interesting to me how they're sort of making all these things fit together.
Okay.
Yeah, 40 minutes long, guys. So what else we could see in this panel is possibly Phase 5 and maybe even Phase 6 of the MCU.
Hmm.
For example, maybe we'll get a teaser trailer finally for the new Ant-Man and the Wasp movie, Quantumania.
Okay.
Yeah. The synopsis for that is Scott Lang and Hope Van Dyne, along with Hope's parents, Hank Pym and Janet Van Dyne, go on a new adventure exploring the quantum realm. Whoever wrote that wrote the episode or the synopsis for the Simpsons panel, too.
There we go.
So maybe we'll get more about the Ant-Man movie, I guess, if someone cares. One person out there, you know, cares about it.
It's me.
Oh, you are an Ant-Man guy, aren't you?
I love Ant-Man.
I kind of like Ant-Man, too. I go back and forth.
Whatever. Here's another show that I had no idea about. Never heard about it. Never heard about any of the inspiration for any of this, but it sounds pretty cool. It's called Secret Invasion.
Yeah.
This series was supposed to land this year, but apparently there were issues on set with multiple reshoots being needed, so this will be airing sometime in spring of next year. Insiders are saying that it might release in two parts, a la Stranger Things. Samuel L. Jackson reprises his role as Nick Fury, who was last seen in the MCU aboard a Skrull spaceship, enjoying a vacation in Spider-Man Far From Home. Not much is really known about the series, but per the Disney Plus Originals website, Secret Invasion is a newly announced series headed to Disney Plus. The crossover comic event series showcases a faction of the shape-shifting Skrulls who have been infiltrating Earth for years. We'll probably see a continuation of the Skrull storyline from Captain Marvel and Spider-Man involving the shape-shifting Skrulls doing shape-shifty things. The Skrulls have already shown their talent for masquerading as other MCU characters, so maybe in the Secret Invasion show we might even get some cool MCU character cameos. Who knows? Hmm. Disney has announced previously that this series could impact the upcoming MCU movies. So if you're into the MCU, you probably don't want to miss this show.
All right.
Which, I don't know, I feel like either Disney's getting better or maybe we're just sort of more understanding, but like, they've planned everything out so well, like, okay, this series will describe sort of what happens in the movies that haven't been made yet. Sort of sets up the same timeline.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, I kind of like it. We might even get What If Season 2, a show called Echo, and Loki Season 2 dates as well. Maybe we'll even, if we're lucky, I guess, we'll get to see Fantastic Four reboot cast announcement, which will be the start of Phase 6. So it depends on how much information they want to give us at the time.
Okay. But
that's what I'm sort of hoping for. I'm hoping to at least let's go 5 and 6. Let's touch 6. Let's just reach out and tap it lightly on the shoulder and then pretend we didn't do it.
Well, I mean, Thanos was introduced very early in these minor cameos. And I remember that feeling in the theaters the first time we saw Thanos in an end credit sequence, and everybody's like, who's that purple guy? And there were the like 10 nerds in the audience who were like, ah!
Right. Yeah. Anthony being one of them. RGH probably being the other one. Outside of the MCU, that still could be, you know, on the same panel. This is a huge panel. I can't believe that this panel is only an hour. No, it's 2 hours long. Okay. So that makes much more sense.
A little better.
Yeah. Outside of the MCU, we have Strange World, which is the next animated feature from Disney. We've already seen a trailer of this movie, and it looks pretty fun, honestly.
It
sort of looks like No Man's Sky meets like some world in World of Warcraft.
Okay.
Like the bog world. It's, you know, it's very like bright, like fuchsias and, you know, bright mm-hmm. things, right? It takes place on an alien world full of interesting flora and fauna. And here's the synopsis from Disney. The original action-adventure journeys deep into an uncharted and treacherous land where fantastical creatures await the legendary Clades, a family of explorers whose differences threaten to topple their latest and by far most crucial mission. Not a whole lot to go on. Wikipedia has a bit more info. The film chronicles on the legendary Clades, mainly Searcher Clade, who has always been a farmer and has never had the bravery and positives with his family of explorers, but they are threatened to topple their latest and most crucial mission as they must rely on each other and forced to put away their differences while in an uncharted and treacherous land to find a special creature that awaits for them.
Okay.
This will also be the first Disney animated canon film, so not like a short or a one-off or whatever, the Disney animated canon film to have an openly gay main character.
Okay.
Looks like a fun adventure film, honestly, with a release date of Thanksgiving already set, but we can probably look forward to a bit more info on what this adventure will be all about. Maybe some actual, maybe a longer trailer or a different trailer or something like that. Jake Gyllenhaal plays the main character voice.
Hmm.
Yeah. Also, fun fact, the ship from the film, because it's like a little space thing, right? The ship from the film appeared as an Easter egg during the end credits of Encanto.
Hmm.
Don't remember that.
No.
And he was like, because didn't they have like animation on the sides?
Yeah.
Just like they had a bunch of like cutout sort of images, right?
Yeah.
Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah. It was similar to the Ralph Easter egg during Moana's end credits and the butterflies from Encanto during Raya and the Last Dragon's end credits.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
No, neither have I. I heard it wasn't very good, but that's just me.
It's okay. It happened.
Plus, the latest from Pixar, which is called Elemental. And this movie was announced back in May and has a release date of June 16th, 2023. But we're not sure yet if that will be in theaters or on Disney Plus They haven't announced them yet. Maybe they'll do it this weekend. Pixar's Elemental will explore the thoughts and feelings of the elements, air, earth, wind, and fire. Elemental will focus on a fiery woman called Ember.
Ooh.
And a watery, go-with-the-flow guy called Wade. Who live in a city where residents of the different elements coexist. So basically, Inside Out. Throughout the movie, Ember...
And Zootopia.
Yeah, right. Ember and Wade will come to realize how much they have in common, despite their elemental differences. Elemental's confirmed male protagonist, Wade, had a cameo in the movie, appearing as the mask... In what movie? Did I literally miss that? Stupid. Well, whatever. Pretend I didn't say that, because I don't know.
Fun fact.
Say. Yeah.
The end.
Yeah. There was some movie where the protagonist is drinking a bottle of water. It's called Wade Water.
Okay.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay. On the Star Wars side of things, we're almost wrapping up here on this. I'm not expecting too much because Star Wars Day just happened, you know, and they announced a bunch of stuff for Star Wars Day, but that could change. I mean, they got to announce something for D23, right? We might get more info on projects that have already been announced, like Andor, which releases on September 21st on Disney Plus. The sociopolitically charged prequel to Rogue One stars Diego Luna, reprising his role that saw him give his life to deliver the Death Star plans to the rebels at the end of Rogue One. And the series looks to explore his lifelong fight with the Empire and how he ended up where he did. You know my feelings on prequels. I think it sort of defeats the purpose of starting a story where the writers intended to start the story and removes some of the thrill and the nuance that the audience is supposed to insert themselves to in order to be emotionally attached to the film in the first place. But that's just me, apparently.
Is there going to be a scene in the new, just predicting now, is there going to be a scene that you'll absolutely love where an Imperial official looks at him and goes, Cassian what? I don't have a last name. Andor.
Hey, you, what are you carrying? You and the, why are you carrying a door? Oh, Andor. Apparently two seasons have already been ordered for this show. So it's going to be, I think, 24 episodes in total.
Love it.
Yeah, interesting. That'll be cool. I know they talked a little bit more today. They released some of that stuff, but I haven't seen it yet. But maybe we'll get more at D23. We also, I'm expecting to hear more about the untitled Star Wars film by Taika Waititi. Not much is known about the project. It doesn't have a friggin' name yet, but it's rumored to be releasing next year. So there's a lot of potential information that could be released this weekend. I would at least like to know what it's about, what the title is, or, you know, whatever. Also, Bad Batch Season 2, which drops September 28th, and there's, you know, some other stuff. But I would personally, I'm expecting to see at least some footage or maybe a trailer for Mandalorian Season 3, or maybe the Ahsoka live action series, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That's basically my thoughts on what's going on Saturday, which is the giant Marvel, Lucasfilm, and 20th Century Studios panel for 2 hours. The next one will be live streamed Disney's Epic Entertainment Showcase, the musical The Extravaganza. That's the title.
All right.
Yeah.
That's a lot of colons.
Yeah, it's for an hour and 15 minutes. Join Disney branded television. Disney branded television. What does that even mean?
Everything on Disney Plus.
For an exclusive showcase that highlights a legacy of excellence in storytelling and includes talent appearances, performances, and never-before-seen previews of original content for Disney Plus, Disney Channel, and Disney Junior. I can't wait for previews of original content on Disney Junior, guys. I can't wait for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
More Doc McStuffins. Come on.
Exactly.
Yeah. On the premiere stage, this will be live streamed as well. It's called Talkin' Pets with the Vets of National Geographic. This is at 10:30 on Saturday, you guys.
Join live streaming this one.
Yeah. Join National Geographic's vet sensation, Dr. Pohl, and wife Diane, critter fixer, Dr. Bernard Hodges, and Dr. Jeff, Dr. Jen, and animal keeper, Rain, from Magic of Disney's Animal Kingdom, for a heartwarming look behind the scenes of their popular series. I like these, like, total normal, you know, names, and then Rain.
Rain.
Rain will award 5 crystals to, you know, 5 lucky consumers of the product of the thing or whatever. 1 o'clock, Magic in the Air, 30 Years of the Muppet Christmas Carol. This should be live streamed.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently, it's going to be the Muppets are going to be there. The filmmakers are going to be there. And a few surprises are going to be there, too. You guys know how much I like surprises.
That should totally be live streamed.
I know. Well, look, whoever's going, please video it and send it to me, please. But don't sit 8 years away from it. At 3:30, a celebration of Disney's animations Encanto, technology powered by AT&T 5G. Join cast and filmmakers from Walt Disney's Animation Studios Academy. Yeah, stories from the making of the film and even a few surprises.
We're not even halfway through the notes right now, people. We're not even halfway through.
My gosh, what? Should I just skip some stuff?
Let's skip a few panels.
All right, let's skip a few panels. The next one on the Backlot stage, this will be live streamed, The Making of Disney 100, the exhibition, 10 a.m. Producers from the Walt Disney Archives, Seminole Exhibitions, and Studio TK reveal illuminating details about the all-new exhibition celebrating 100 years of Disney wonder. Okay. Live streamed, 12 o'clock, Saturday. Bob's Burgers, a conversation with a cast and creative team. I would like to watch that.
Yeah, that sounds
absolutely
cool.
Bob's Burgers is great. It's cool.
Yeah.
I hate when they do the songs.
Yeah.
They do too many songs. It's like, God, just shut up already.
Linda, shut the movie? Up.
No, we haven't. I want to watch it, but then Taryn goes, I think that's more of like a weekend thing, and then we never watch it. So
It was delightful.
I want to watch it. This next one will be live streamed as well. Marvel Comics, celebrating 60 years of The Amazing Spider-Man, 2 p.m. I would like to watch that too. Celebrate 60 spectacular, sensational web-slinging years of Spider-Man. Apparently there's trivia, tantalizing trivia.
Ooh.
That'll be fun. I guess let's just talk about, there's going to be a Zootopia Plus panel for sneak peek. So, you know, get to see that. All right, let's just skip to all the ones that are actually going to be live streamed, huh? Let's do that.
That sounds more fun.
Sorry, Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur.
Yeah.
You'll get your time when you
your comeuppance.
Up.
Right.
Yeah.
The next one will be live streamed on Sunday at 10:30 in the morning. A Boundless Future. Disney Parks Experiences and Products. It says join Disney Parks Experiences and Products Chairman Josh DeMauro. How is the title of your panel going to be like your title at the company?
He's so handsome.
For a look at Disney's Boundless Future. With announcements and updates on the magic happening around the world in parks, on the high seas, at home, and beyond, attendees will get a behind-the-scenes look at the big dreams of Disney Imagineers. Every Disney fan will want to be a part of this special presentation full of exciting news and surprises. Eric, what do you think is going to be on this panel? This is your wheelhouse right here.
This is my thing. Yes, absolutely. Thank you. You're welcome. Is the one that you always... Yes. I don't know what you do. What do you say after somebody says you're welcome? Do you say thank you again?
You just keep going. Yeah.
Nice. The parks panel is always the highlight of D23. It's what you look forward to when you're trying to figure out what's going to happen at Disney for the next few years, unless there's a giant pandemic and nothing actually comes of it, like happened in 2019. But, you know, whatever. Right. So something to consider for this year. We're still looking at cheap. We don't want to do really giant, elaborate things. We're not going to raise Tomorrowland, raise with the Z, not the AISE. We're not going to like destroy Tomorrowland and completely replace it. We need to be cheap because, Disney's look at the stock. I mean, we're not doing amazing. They're doing great for a post-pandemic company.
Look at this stock. Isn't it neat?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you think my portfolio is complete?
Yeah. Well, none of my stocks are doing great right now. Yeah. So, you know, whatever. but the parks desperately need more ride capacity everywhere. Yeah. Disneyland, DCA are doing okay with that. They still have a lot of attractions. Disney World is suffering. They keep closing things and not adding new stuff. And more people keep going to it because, you know, freedom. Genie Plus is supposedly a hit, so we've got some money coming into the parks. Why not spend it? So I've created three categories of this is all my idea, completely mine.
Okay.
Three categories of ideas here. We've got the easy ideas that they're kind of a lock. This is what will probably be announced on those days. There's the maybe ideas where we're like, maybe it could happen. And then there are the insane ideas. Like I said earlier, I spent an hour looking through a whole bunch of Reddits and forum threads to find things. And a lot of the stuff overlaps. So thankfully, a lot of the rumors you hear are just random people building off of each other's momentum. Kind of like a few years ago, we had that whole Country Bear Jamboree is going to be closed at Walt Disney World because this.
Right.
And even Disney Parks blog had to come out and say, what are you doing? Shut up. No, we're not closing that.
Well, and then the blog that started it was like, nope, they doubled down. Like, I stand by my reporting. And
yeah,
it never happened. And everyone forgot about it.
Right. Yeah. Well, let's start with the easy stuff. So some things that will definitely happen in this panel. Fantasmic will open in Disney Hollywood Studios. We'll just get a date because we have cast members hired. They're reported to be rehearsing right now. We just need a date to bring it back. It's going on at Disneyland. I finally saw it for the first time. So there we go. Tron, the Tron coaster, will get its opening date, I hope, or at least a time frame. Who knows if it'll be within this calendar year? Don't know. It'll be fine. Once that opens up, we'll get the Walt Disney World Railroad reopening, which has been closed for years because they had to reroute the track for Tron.
Ah,
yeah. We'll get some timelines for Tiana's Bayou Adventure. Maybe get some extra content. Like, what are you actually planning to do with this ride? Are you going to replace all the old animatronics, or are you going to just kind of put some new stuff in there? Why not? Nighttime Spectaculars, Happily Ever After at Magic Kingdom. Always well received, very elaborate show. And the Disney Enchantment show that they put on for the 50th anniversary, kind of whatever. So I think we'll see some new we'll see the return of Happily Ever After because, again, it's cheap and people like it.
Right.
But we'll also get a new Disneyland show.
Oh,
yeah. I think we'll get something new at Disneyland. It's been a while since we've had anything. But as you mentioned earlier, there's the 100 Years of Wonder or whatever it's called. It's 100 years since the Disney company started. This version of the Disney, the Walt Disney Studios, Walt Disney Productions, it will probably celebrate that at Disneyland before Disney World. So there's a lot of speculation that we'll get a show that centers around that because all that happens in 2023. And that would be a big deal for Disneyland to get a new show there. Similarly, why not bring back parades like, I don't know, Magic Happens, the parade that they ran for a couple weeks and then the world shut down.
Yeah.
Yeah. Get some of that stuff back.
Magic does happen, man. That's for sure.
It sure does.
Is that really what it's called? Magic Happens?
Yeah.
Because that's a lot like a saying.
Yeah, negative saying. Yeah.
I think we had similar discussions. We all had similar discussions 2 years ago or 3 years ago. What year is it? Nobody knows.
No, I barely know what day it is, dude.
When they announced it, everybody went, Magic Happens? What a lame title. Now we're like, yes, bring back Magic Happens. Do it. There's probably going to be a bunch of resort stuff at Walt Disney World. They've been doing a lot of work on the Grand Floridian. Maybe we'll get some more news on the Polynesian DVC that you've talked about on in depth plenty. Disney dining plans might come back, and we'll probably get a little more information on the retheme of Paradise Pier Hotel to Pixar Pier Hotel.
Oh, yeah.
That seems like the sort of thing we'll learn about, right? It's right there at Disneyland. They already announced it. They had like four concept art images. I think that's kind of a solid one. We'll get more of a timeline on that.
Okay. Love it.
Yeah. We'll probably get a theme for Tarzan's treehouse. Why not? Everybody's been wondering if it's Encanto. Maybe we'll find out at this one. I think that's pretty solid to get a theme for Tarzan. We all know it's been under construction for a while. Let's find out what it actually is. We'll get some updates on Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway, which has been confirmed. It's a different ride, or at least some of the elements are different than the Walt Disney World version. So we'll probably find out more about what that actually means. We'll probably find out about Toontown, because that's been closed completely.
Yep.
And Magic Band Plus at Disneyland. When's that coming out?
Oh, that would be so cool, dude.
Yeah.
But they already rolled it out at Walt Disney World. They've been saying they're going to do it at Disneyland. I think it's going to happen this time. And then there's probably some Encanto in there, like anywhere.
All over.
Right? Like more than just Coco. Oh, yeah, well, we'll have some elaborate puppets that walk around. We're probably going to get something significant in this update.
Yeah. Apparently, so the chat's sort of ticking off at this one right now.
Mm.
I don't know why I said ticking off, and it sounds like they're mad. Apparently there was a
I'm offended.
Yeah, there was a media it's a media preview of D23. And at D23 there's a scale model of the new Tiana's Bayou Adventure.
Ooh.
And it looks pretty cool, dude. I'm not going to lie. I mean, of course it is. It's a Disney ride. They're going to do it right, obviously, but
yeah.
Yeah, it looks great, man. Just Google D23 updates, you'll find it. Yeah, it looks neat. I mean, obviously there's no word about what's inside the ride really based on this model, but anyway, there's a lot of stuff coming up. There's concept art about what's in the ride. The Journey of Water attraction is getting, some concept art delivering as well. The Walt Dreamer statue coming to Epcot. That's getting unveiled right now. Yeah. So a lot of fun stuff happening just already right now.
Yeah. And that's one of those big things at Epcot where they said the Walt statue was coming. They were going to have this large sort of memorial space that looked up over things. I don't know that they're going to build something quite as elaborate as they announced in 2019. But yeah, we'll see how it goes.
Just scrolling this blog to see if there's anything else in there. You got it all? You done?
Oh, no. I've got my maybes and then my insane
predictions. Let's do it.
Predictions.
All right, okay. You do it.
Maybes. Tomorrowland.
Oh, here we go.
Tokyo closed Space Mountain and is going to completely destroy it. They're ripping their Space Mountain completely apart and building a new attraction to open in 2027. The concept art is awesome. We don't know a lot more about it. Do I think that we're going to do that in Disneyland? No, we're not going to rip it apart because we don't have the cash.
Yeah, there's no way.
But Tokyo, sure. Yeah, they've got all the cash. Look at Disney Sea. But I think I certainly hope there's been a lot of speculation about a Lightyear overlay for Space Mountain. The movie did poorly. I don't know if they're going to continue with that, but I think it's worth a look at. I mean, really, as far as attractions in Disneyland, Space Mountain is pretty good because they did a complete rehaul of the track not that long ago. It's still very smooth compared to the Magic Kingdom's Space Mountain, which is still jerky as all hell. And I don't know what's going to happen, but people are talking. Maybe they'll announce something. A light overlay isn't that exciting. People haven't been that excited about most of the overlays at Space Mountain, but we'll see what they do. The kind of bigger one at Tomorrowland in Disneyland is the People Mover returning. It's been a rumor for a while now. Now it's a big rumor, but so was, like I mentioned earlier, so was closing Country Bear Jamboree or closing the Tiki Room. There's a lot of construction that needs to go into it to make that track come back up to code. They've got to put in stairwells and like exit routes in case it goes down. They need to build rails. They need to reconstruct portions of the track and the buildings where rocket rods destroyed them.
Yeah.
I mean, it would really please a lot of those unfavorable attendance mix folks. But is it really going to take up that much space or that many people at Disney World? It really does. It does well because people see, oh, this is a short line. Oh, it's like 15 minutes long. Let's do it. And I think we all know that Disneyland could benefit from having that there. It's more motion. It's it's interesting. It's something that will eat more people, and it's more futuristic than a bunch of cars on a track. But it's expensive. I don't know how they're going to pull it off.
They're not. Jeremy will owe me $100.
There we go.
Yeah.
The Innoventions / Star Wars Launch Bay / former Carousel of Progress Theater, all that stuff. Upstairs is getting a DVC lounge. We already know that, which is great. the Walt Disney World Resort has a couple of DVC lounges that are exclusive to members. They're big hits. They're great. Especially since we're adding a DVC hotel or chunk of the Disneyland hotel, let's get some more perks for DVC members. What's going to go in downstairs? Something has to go in downstairs. That's kind of a maybe. Are they going to put something in other than just seating for a weird angle of the fireworks? I don't know. DCA, what happened to the Avengers e-ticket ride?
Oh, yeah, right.
What happened to the Quinjet?
Mm.
Are we going to do something with it this time? I don't know. It's very expensive. The concept that they threw out at us years ago was that you're going to get into a Quinjet and you're going to personalize your own heroes. And presumably you're going to have an adventure that's kind of an AR sort of thing. And I don't know how they pull that together right now on a cheaper budget, but it's something the land needs. We've got the Guardians Tower, we've got Web Slingers. Those are big attractions. They attract a lot of people.
Yeah.
But they promised us something next generation, something huge.
Right. Maybe they'll announce it. That'd be cool. I would hope they do.
Yeah.
I hope they do.
There's some stuff at Walt Disney World that they could go back to, like Stitch's Great Escape or the Extraterrestrial Encounter / Mission to Mars / Flight to the Moon in Tomorrowland. Magic Kingdom's Tomorrowland has some issues too. Listen to our recent episode of The Supreme Resort to hear more about Tomorrowland.
Never heard of it. I really wish they would go back to the graveyard and pull some of these old classics and update them and bring them back.
That would be amazing.
Yeah.
But they've been talking about a Wreck-It Ralph attraction in that theater. If you remember, it's a circle theater. You're centered on something happening in the middle of the stage. And they talked about doing a Wreck-It Ralph feature pre-2020. They kind of filed some permits and they maybe started doing some work on that space. They kind of left it. Just like they kind of left a lot of the stuff at Epcot. They had big plans. The one that they've really pushed for is the new Moana attraction, the Journey of Water. That's just south of Spaceship Earth. But there are things that we could do, like we could go back to the well of the changes to Spaceship Earth. We could go back to a Mary Poppins land in the UK. A lot of that seems kind of expensive. Something that's kind of crazy is if you think about it, and if you ask Jeremy, he'll definitely tell you because he's ready for it.
Sure.
The 40th anniversary of Epcot is coming on October 1st, and we know nothing. There are no celebrations.
There's probably going to be nothing happening.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I saw more at the 35th celebration. They're like, hey, we got a bunch of merch.
Right.
35. And there's nothing happening right now. So that's kind of in the maybe section.
Okay.
Would you like to get to the insane area?
You know me, man.
Let's
get nuts.
All right. Carousel of Progress at Disneyland. There are rumors that the Carousel of Progress will be relocated to Disneyland again.
No, where,
impossible.
Where would it go?
No, there's no way.
No,
there's no way.
That's why I labeled it insane.
Yeah. There's literally no way. That wheel underneath that stage hasn't been moved in 25 years.
Oh,
it's storage down there. There's no. I would bet $1 million it never happens.
Oh, yeah.
Never happened.
Completely leveling most of Tomorrowland in an overhaul. Again. Really expensive.
Yeah.
Not going to happen.
No, of course not.
The end of Autopia. People are saying, God, this is the time. They're going to remove it.
Of course Autopia. They are. Yeah. Remember that time that, again, I think it's probably the same Disney Parks blog. Not the Disney Parks blog, but the same Disney blog said that they were going to remove Autopia for a Star Wars ride.
Right.
And we just were like, no, bro. And people are like, well, you know, there's rumors, there's concept art. There's probably concept art for 1,000 different things. Doesn't mean it's ever going to happen.
Right.
It's not going to happen.
Speaking of concept art, there's a large, I don't know about large. There's a group of people on disboards.com who have dissected the D23 poster, the official expo poster.
Oh, God, they're baking the poster now. Let's see.
And
what do they say?
They're pulling apart all of the things that will definitely be announced at the parks panel.
OK, what is it?
Let's see here. Tinkerbell being in the poster means that she will get a land. she will get an expansion in Fantasyland.
Yep.
Captain America's shield means we're going to get an announcement of Captain America 4.
These things can't just be like cool iconic things to like draw your eye. They have to be right. It has to be like, a hidden meaning.
Oh, I recognize the thing that Disney owns. Cool. I love it. A Nova Corps ship means that there could be a holiday overlay for Cosmic Rewind.
I mean, the ride that just came out. There could be anyways.
There could be because they did it at Guardians in DCA.
But the fact that the ship is on the poster doesn't mean that.
Right.
The two are unrelated, but they still could happen. But it doesn't mean because the ship is there. People who do the artwork for this stuff are not thinking this deep. They're not putting breadcrumbs for you guys to bake. They're just not.
Oh, yeah. I'm leaving out a bunch of movie and TV type stuff here. Elliot, Pete's Dragon, appears in there.
Okay.
New version of the Main Street Electrical Parade. Well, we already have that, don't we? I mean.
Oh, you mean the Electrical Light Parade?
Yes. That's right. The official name.
Right. Yes. It's the same thing.
Rapunzel's hair means we're going to get a Tangled ride.
Where? they're going to pull out the Smuggler's Run and they're going to put on a Tangled ride.
Yeah.
Oga's Cantina will now be a Tangled ride.
The gargoyles from Haunted Mansion mean we're probably going to get the Hatbox Ghost in Haunted Mansion Magic Kingdom.
I mean,
they could.
Yeah, right, but again, if it happens, it's not because they didn't give you a clue. They're not talking to you.
And also, wouldn't the clue be the Hatbox Ghost or like a hat or something? Yeah. Not a gargoyle.
The gargoyles mean that we're going to get a gargoyle prequel on Disney Plus. Prequel series.
Live
59
action.
Episodes. Yeah, live action, 59 episodes starring Josh Gad and Will Smith.
Right.
Yeah.
Let's see. The Nautilus from 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea and a squid's arm means we're going to get a new 20,000 Leagues movie and probably updates to Trader Sam's.
I hate it. I hate the internet.
Yeah, they're pulling apart a poster that's clearly like, look at all the crap that you love.
Right. Yeah. But also kind of sounds fun. And I feel like we should have done that.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe that was the show. Maybe that was the idea.
Instead of me reading synopses.
And us reacting to it. And me reading crazy fan theories.
Well, that's fine. That's a show. I'm not.
So there's a lot of weird stuff going on there. People talk about Epcot pavilions. Let's get a new Journey into Imagination. People love Figment again. But why would they recreate the attraction that everybody kind of dislikes? There you go.
Yeah.
Why recreate it if people are buying Figment merch? Why make a better attraction? People are already buying his merch.
That's right.
How does that benefit?
Yeah, I feel like if you up the supply of the thing, not many people will buy the thing.
Right.
Supply and command.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
People have been into Figment for the last few years. He's in all of the festival stuff. He does food and wine. He does all the other great pins and other things. Good for him.
Yeah.
World Showcase pavilions that have been rumored forever. Brazil.
Mm. Greece better be there. I'm going to riot. Lee and I will riot.
Also Greece. No, yes. Greece was not on my list. But Greece is totally on the list.
They're not going to add more.
Brazil has been at the forefront for a long time.
Who cares?
Switzerland with a recreation of the Matterhorn, which is an old rumor. It's so old. And then Colombia with an Encanto ride.
Colombia. They're talking about legalizing cocaine in Colombia. I doubt they're going to get a pavilion. Actually, that's probably how they're going to get the pavilion. That's how they can afford it.
Right. Also, my favorite crazy rumor is that this is the end. They're going to announce the end of park reservations. They will not end
Never.
Park reservations ever.
It's yeah. giving them so much information and so much control.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Plan ahead, people. The days of showing up at Disneyland at like 9 p.m. on a Saturday.
Right.
And having a drink mm-hmm. in Tomorrowland and watching the fireworks. Those are gone.
God, sorry, like the best, too. But yeah, gone.
Is that it, Eric?
Unless we want to talk about Duffy.
Well, let me finish up here real fast, because Duffy sort of rounds out the whole thing.
Okay, that's what we were going for.
So a couple more things from the media preview of D23 that are literally just happening right now. A Tiana-inspired restaurant is going to be coming to New Orleans Square in Disneyland. Would it be sure. called Tiana's Place, probably, I would imagine. And then there's also going to be a boutique store themed around Princess and the Frog called Eudora's Chic Boutique
Ooh.
In New Orleans Square. And there's a concept art, which, you know, has like a bunch of knickknacks and stuff like that, too. I don't mind. What am I trying to say? I think it's cool. I'm looking forward to the new ride, the retheming of Splash Mountain. It's not opening for another year, 2024. So it's going to be a long time coming. But it already sort of feels like Tiana's taking over New Orleans Square.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't think that
country, I guess.
Why would it be? Well, yeah, I think they're blurring the line. That's what we were talking about. I think when it was first announced, like, where do you draw the line? If Splash Mountain's Critter Country and now it's going to be themed to a movie that takes place in New Orleans, right next to New Orleans Square, New Orleans Square is now claiming mm-hmm. a chunk of Critter Country. It just has to be that way. But there's like more IP bleeding into. So sort of the best land of Disneyland, because it's not really IP heavy. I mean, sort of, you have like Pieces of Eight, which is that shop outside of the exit of of Pirates. And you have Les Baton Rouge, which I guess is mildly themed to a reference to the Haunted Mansion. But that's about it. It's like kind of nice. It's kind of a nice little like jaunt through. I don't want it to have more IP.
Where are you saying it's going to be?
In New Orleans Square somewhere.
Oh.
Yeah,
replacing Hungry Bear,
because that's what the chat is saying.
Well, that's what they're guessing. I don't know that's
that would make sense.
I mean, I guess, but I mean, how much of Critter Country is going to be French taken market. Up? Yeah,
you
I don't know.
Need I mean, they got to phase out Critter Country.
If they phase out Critter Country, God, this is already a 2-hour show. If they phase out Critter Country, then Winnie the Pooh has to go. So what goes in its place? That does open up for another ride.
Yeah,
and then what goes there?
Encanto.
An Encanto ride in that tiny little area?
Just because.
Yeah. Cool.
Okay, so I said I was going to fast forward just to what is going to be live streamed. This is still on Saturday, guys. Walt Disney Imagineering, 70 years of making the impossible possible. That's at 1 p.m. For 70 years, Walt Disney Imagineering has blended imagination with cutting-edge technology to create groundbreaking experiences. So you're going to join Imagineers past and present as they discuss the core elements of storytelling and innovation. So, Taryn, you need to watch that, and we'll get some interview ideas. You know what I'm trying to say? What else is going to be live streamed at 3:45 is Explore the World with the Next Generation of National Geographic.
Yeah.
Yeah, sounds great, dude. You know what's weird, and this isn't going to be live streamed, but they're going to have a American Horror Story Behind the Screams. This is a panel on Saturday, like 4 o'clock. Fans will get inside details on how the show comes together, or fashion and horror intersect. It just seems really weird. And they don't say American Horror Story. It says FX's AHS. Just using the abbreviation. Because I was like, I had to think about it. Like, what are they? Oh, yeah.
I think that's what people call it. I mean, that's what it says
pretty
on.
Pretty much.
Like,
yeah, but it's not the.
On Hulu.
It's not the brand of. I don't know, man.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
I feel like they're hiding it on purpose.
Possibly, but.
Because it's scary.
Right. You don't see American Horror Story written anywhere anymore. It's just AHS.
Oh, I see it all the time.
You do?
Yeah. It's on Hulu.
No,
yeah,
on
they
Hulu.
Started abbreviating The Simpsons too, to the S's.
No, they didn't. Shut up. All right, that's all the live stream that's gonna be happening, everybody. That's it. That was on Sunday, I guess. Were we on Sunday already? No. Were we? Yeah, that was it. All right, so how are they
Yeah, we
so got, they're we rounding got goofy. Out Well, right, yeah, that's true. So on, where did it go? On Sunday, September 11th, you know, you have different panels at like 6 o'clock from 6 to 7. But really the highlight, the roundup, the closeout on Sunday night is at 4:15. Unfortunately, it's not going to be streamed, but it's the World of Duffy and Friends.
Revealed.
Revealed with an exclamation point. Eric, tell me about this.
If you didn't know about Duffy, that's okay, because Duffy never really caught on in America. I would love to do a full episode on Duffy someday.
He's Japanese, right? He's a Japanese guy.
Well, they tried to roll him out in America, but he really caught on in Japan. And there's a whole like pantheon of Duffy's friends that exist in Japan. There's even a specific like Olani in Hawaii character called Olumel that you can only get there in Hawaii. It's a giant thing. People love Duffy, but overseas. Here in America, they're like, well, no one cares, hey, dude.
Yeah, he's just a teddy bear.
Right. Yeah. I remember seeing him like, why is there a teddy bear standing here at Epcot?
Well,
they first tried rolling it out.
They also had a gazebo for him that you can take pictures with Duffy on in Paradise Pier next to that restaurant we could never get in.
The Cove Bar.
And I was like, who? That was my first experience with Duffy. I was like, who is Duffy? Because he was never there. And then we finally saw him. We're like, it's the bear. And he's like Mickey's bear that he takes around the world on his adventures or whatever. I'm like,
yeah,
you're a grown man with a house and a car and you're married and you're taking your stuffed bear around with you, dude. What's up?
I can relate.
Yeah, me too. Honestly, I'm just trying to be tough, guys, because I have my tank top on. So I feel very aggressive. This tank top will elevate your testosterone and make you hyper aggressive, guys. Sorry.
Well, anyway, yeah, there's a panel on this and there's a whole lot of stuff. They keep rolling out new versions of Duffy's friends. They keep rolling out new Duffy friends. And
I wonder if
there's a mine of content there.
I wonder if it's just to find something that hits finally, find something that lands, or just to, you know, keep the money coming. Or
in both. America, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
Because I don't see him anymore. I don't see anybody rocking Duffy.
Oh, yeah.
The only people I see rocking Duffy are, you know, what I imagine are visitors from Asia coming over. You know, I've seen people like carrying Duffy dolls like around.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe this is Duffy's big break.
I love it. I think it'll be great. Bless Duffy, dude. Up Duffy. There we go. All right. Disney D23 panel. I think we covered most of it. Should we watch some of this and comment on it? We still haven't talked about it. We'll text about it, I guess. Let's might be kind of that, fun.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll just do it. Because it's during the day. A lot of it's during the day. Eric has a real job. But maybe not on Saturday. Maybe on Saturday we should just do it. Eh, I don't know. I'll text. Anyway, whatever. Who cares? No one cares. All right. Thank you guys for tuning in. I really appreciate it. Thanks, Taryn, for sweating it out with me in this studio.
It's actually kind of cool in here now.
Is it? Oh, you got the fan on you. I have the fan 20 feet away.
Oh, you do? Yeah.
Yeah, I can't. I'm around the corner. So that's how much I care.
Thanks.
Or I'm bad at geometry. All right. Thanks a lot, everybody, for tuning in. I appreciate it. And until next time. Oh, we'll see in the parks, but also in depth will be probably happening next week. So that'd be fun. All right. Thanks, guys. We'll see you.